So I began with Merry Christmas. I was a few days early, but I might not see some of you until afterwards. So Merry Christmas, in case I don't see you afterwards. I know some are traveling and going to be gone, but I hope you have a really nice Christmas this year. You know, this morning we're going to take another look at a Christmas praise. We've been looking at Christmas praises this December. We've seen that Zacharias, the priest, praised God for redemption. Last week we saw that the angels praised God for peace on earth. Each one praised not only differently as far as what they praised God for, but they also praised God in a different manner. Today, we're going to look at the shepherds. And we're going to see that they praised God simply for revealing His Son to the world. The fact that He would not only reveal His Son, as we'll see, but also that He would share that with these, humble men that were out tending to their flock. You know, shepherds, I think they're common men for the most part. And because of that, we often just lump them in with the Christmas story. Their job or their responsibility was to overlook the sheep. And some, that's what they did for their entire life. That was their career. There are those that believe that these shepherds were actually priests, part of the priesthood that were assigned to the duty of shepherding sheep that were used for sacrifices. And that may be the case. Others believe that they were just general shepherds that were out there in the fields at night with their sheep. Either way, these men with their sheep guarded their sheep at all times. You know, when the sheep were placed out in the field or out in the pasture, they watched over their sheep. They stayed with them. They didn't go and take a break and come back later. The sheep had to be guarded. There were a lot of dangers out there, and they had to be protected. This was humble work for the most part. Often it was dirty work. I mean, it was filthy work. They'd have to go rescue sheep or help sheep. It was dirty work, and it was difficult work. Many shepherds, they worked long hours, and they often worked odd hours. I mean, we're going to see in our passage this morning that these shepherds were there at nighttime out there working. So they worked long and odd hours, and we're talking about during a time when they didn't have, they hadn't harnessed electricity like we have. So they didn't have night shifts and people working throughout the night. So these men were working odd hours. I read where in a survey that was done a few years back, they asked several people. They asked them a question. They said, of all the people in the Christmas involved in the Christmas story in some way or another, they gave them a list of all the people from Mary to the angels to Zacharias to Simeon to Anna, and they just listed all these. They asked them who they related to the most, or who they identified with the most. And over one third said the shepherds. And it's probably because the shepherds were common people. We can relate to that. We can relate to working long hours. We can relate to working odd hours. We can relate to working jobs we may not have chosen, but that need to be done. We can relate to those things. And that's why I think the shepherds are often who we relate to, who we understand. And as we'll see this morning, they were the ordinary people that were invited to see the King of Kings, invited to be part of that birth. And so this morning, let's look at the praise they offered up afterwards. Luke chapter 2. Our text will be primarily in verse 20, but I'm going to back it up a little bit and read the entire passage beginning in verse 8 so we see the context of what happened. It says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and as we look at this verse and this passage here this morning, I pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word. Please help us to not only to get an understanding, Lord, but also I pray that you'll help us to see the practical teaching in this chapter. And Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. And if there's any conviction needed in any way, or just a challenge, or perhaps someone needs to be comforted today, I pray that you'll provide all the needs that we have this morning. Please help us to set aside our cares for a few minutes and to focus on your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about the shepherds. They praised God basically for his son Jesus Christ, for having it revealed unto them, for knowing about Jesus so they could go and they could see. And that's what they praised God for. And I'm going to give you two thoughts from this. First, they praised God after their return. They didn't praise God before. They received the news, as we'll see. They went, and when they returned, they praised God. Now, they returned to their flocks, is what it's talking about. They returned back to their responsibilities. They returned back to shepherding. You know, after you're saved, it doesn't mean you go and you quit your job and go do another life. Now, if you're living in sin, that may be the case, but for the most part, God will keep you right where you are and begin to bless you in your career and begin to bless you as you serve Him. Now, as far as praising God after their return, I want you to notice a few things. First, they received the news. We've read that there. They received the news as they were out in the fields that night tending to their sheep. The first thing that comes to my mind is these men were where they were supposed to be. And it wasn't a glamorous position either. They weren't in the city. They weren't with the leaders of the city. They were out there in the fields outside the city of Bethlehem. For the most part, I imagine the only ones that knew they were there are probably family and friends. And that'd probably be about it. They were out there in those fields where they were supposed to be that night. And there may have been other places, we don't know their thoughts, but there might have been other places they would have chosen to be. Maybe there were other places they might have wanted to be, but the Bible tells us they were where they were supposed to be. And they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were watching over their sheep. They were responsible. None of them had, at least this group, none of them had taken off. And we don't find any irresponsible shepherds who were not tending to their sheep, but they were there. There's a story of F.B. Meyer. He was an evangelist, a preacher for many years. And he became, in his own ministry, became famous and became known in his ministry. One day a young preacher went up to Dr. Meyer, F.B. Meyer, and he asked him a question. He said, "Can I have a question?" And Brother Meyer said, yes, you can. He goes, "Here's his question." He says, "How can I become as influential as you in this world?" Well, Dr. Meyer looked at him and responded. He said, "Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities, which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention." That's good. These shepherds weren't out looking to become famous or to become known or even be part of this story. They were where they were supposed to be, and God chose to bless them. You see this morning, that's a lesson for each one of us. Let's be faithful where God has placed us. Let's be faithful in our home. Dads, let's be faithful husbands, men. Let's be faithful husbands, faithful dads. Women, be faithful wives and be faithful moms. And be faithful in our home where God has placed us. Secondly, let's be faithful in our work where God has placed us, the career. If God has given you abilities and God has taken you down a career path, be faithful there. Be faithful to God, of course, but be faithful in your career. God will bless you there. God blessed these men in their career right where they were. God blessed them. And so I encourage you to be faithful and be grateful for what God is giving you. Also, be faithful in serving God. You know, we have all the things that we can think about as far as serving God. Reading the Bible, praying, being a witness, and so forth. Let's be faithful unto the Lord. You know, those thoughts are really basic, but they're important. I mean, it's really important to be faithful. A lot can be said about being where you're supposed to be and doing what you should be doing. How about physically? You know, there are places, I think, today that a believer should not go. And by the way, I'm not the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to go and tell you all the places you should and should not go. That's between you and God. But there are places that a believer shouldn't be found, to be honest with you. If you're living a separated life from this world, there are places a believer should not be part of. Likewise, there are probably places a believer should be if they're serving the Lord and being faithful. And that's just between you and God. But you know, we should be where we're supposed to be. How about spiritually? We should be in God's will. We should be serving the Lord, being faithful, and being in God's will. And some, I've had people ask me, well, how do I get in God's will, or how do I know I'm in the Lord's will? Here's where it begins, right here. This is His revealed will to us. The Bible is God's revealed will. If you want to be in God's will, begin by reading your Bible, studying your Bible, finding out what's in here, because this is where you'll find out what God expects, what God doesn't expect. You know, what I have found in my life, there are many times where God has answered a question or a thought that I had simply from Scripture. You know, I may want a decision or do something, and reading the Bible, I find, maybe I shouldn't, go that way. You know, that verse pops up a lot, abstain from all appearance of evil. Maybe that appears to be evil, maybe I shouldn't think about it, or maybe I'll do something else. You see, we just need to be seeking God in His Word. So, when you think about these men, they received the news is what they did, but that's because they were where they're supposed to be. You know, we cannot expect blessings if we're not where we should be, either in God's will or just being faithful to what God has for us. Secondly, they reacted immediately. Now, that says a lot too, especially, parents know this. Reacting immediately is important. Obedience, and that's what these men did. The Bible tells us that after the angels left, or after the angels were gone, they looked upon each other and they said, let's go and see. And the Bible says that they went. Let me tell you, this was an act of faith. Now imagine these men knew the city of Bethlehem. They probably knew where they were going, and they may have even been there before. But they had never seen the Savior. They had never seen our Lord and Savior as a baby just born. They had never seen that. And so this was an act of faith. For them to follow this direction that the angels had given to them from God was a great act of faith. They didn't know all that would transpire. They weren't certain, but they went anyway. You know, I think these men did not allow their human logic or reasoning to get in the way. That can happen. Have you ever looked at the Bible or even began to think, that doesn't make too much sense? Or why does God want us to do that? You see, if God directs us, we should follow. You know, sometimes, here's another thing too, we often think, well, it can't be done. Well, how about that verse in the Bible? With God, all things are possible. Or I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, sometimes our prayer life is cut short by lack of faith. We just don't think it can be done. So we don't ask for it. We don't ask, and of course we won't receive because we haven't asked. You know, these men went by faith. I mean, they reacted and they went. And that's something we can learn from. We can, I think we should live by faith. You know, the just shall live by faith. We should live by faith and continue by faith. I've often wondered how many times we miss blessings because we delay. Think about that. These men didn't argue. They didn't debate. They didn't say, well, let's sit down and have a conference. Let's see what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And then we'll decide. The angel told them, so they went. You see, there are times where we'll delay, and because we delay, we'll miss a blessing. We'll drag our feet, perhaps. We're not sure, I think I should do this. Or that. Well, let me think about it more and more. You know, the Bible's told us to be witnesses. We don't need to think about that as far as, now we used to use wisdom when we witness and used to, be led by the Spirit. But it's not up to debate on should we be witnesses. The Bible's already made it clear we should be witnesses. We should proclaim the good news of salvation. And see, when we drag our feet, or if we neglect, sometimes we just neglect to follow the direction that God has given, then we're going to miss the blessings. And that's these men here, we don't find any neglect, we don't find any hesitation or delay. They faithfully went, and God blessed them. Also, we can simply refuse. You know, these men, I imagine they could have just sat down, or they could have just stayed right there and said, we'll just save it for another day. Think of the blessing these men would have missed. We wouldn't be reading about them in Scripture, that's for sure. They wouldn't be part of this, that story. But they went, and they were blessed. You know, don't become stubborn against God or His will. Just be faithful. Thirdly, they reached the Savior. They reached the Savior is what they did. Think about that. They were not distracted, and they were not sidetracked. Maybe they began projects only to be sidetracked. I can't be the only one that does that. I know that. You begin something, you say, I'm going to get this done. Whether it's at home or just a hobby or something, you say, I'm going to get this done. And the next thing you know, it's still there. Haven't finished. It's easy to get sidetracked in life. These men were not sidetracked. They didn't. You know, you heard that phrase, taking the scenic route. They didn't take the scenic route. We don't find them going up, traveling up north. They went straight to the city and they found the Savior. And that says a lot. You know, in our spiritual life, it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to set aside Bible reading for a day. Next thing you know, the Bible says for a second day or a third day. And you open it up on Sunday, and then all of a sudden, if you're not careful, it becomes habit. You see, it's easy to get sidetracked. Or you start reading the Bible, and you really dedicate yourself, then all of a sudden, things come up, and you begin to cut the time short. I want to encourage you, don't get sidetracked in spiritual things. How about prayer the same way? It's easy to get sidetracked, either when you're praying or even before you're praying. It's easy for things to come up where you just set aside prayer or neglect prayer. And it's just so easy to get sidetracked. Let's be like these shepherds. Let's be focused on the direction that we should be going. And you know, and the list goes on and on of other areas of spiritual service that God has given to us. But let's just be faithful. Also, fourthly, they repeated the account. Let's go back. Notice, and we're in Luke chapter 2, and I want you to notice something here. Luke chapter 2, and it says there in verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds." These shepherds went into Bethlehem. They saw the Savior. I'm going to tell you, from this passage, we probably don't see the excitement that was probably in their heart. I mean, we read this, but the Bible tells us that they went and told it abroad. Now, you don't tell something like this unless you're excited, unless you've seen something that has just amazed you. These men that began to tell everyone about this, or tell the people that were around, they couldn't keep quiet. They had to share it with someone. You know, I think we're like that today. How many of you get good news and you just want to tell somebody? Whether it's your spouse or a friend, or you want to share it with somebody because it's good news. And you want to share it. And you know, I know on Wednesday nights we'll share praises with the church. You get good news and God blesses you. You just want to share it with others. You know, good news is hard to keep secret, especially if it's really good news. It's hard to hold on to. You want to just share it with people. That's what happened with these shepherds. Now, it wasn't about being promoted or receiving any earthly blessings. It was about seeing their Savior. The Messiah that had been promised was here, and they had witnessed. They didn't witness His birth, but they had witnessed His presence there on earth. And the Bible tells us that they became pretty much the first witnesses of our Savior. Began to tell everyone about what they had seen and what they had known. And then that follows up with their praise of God. We find that there in verse, it says there in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." See, what I want you to notice this morning is that they praised God after they heard the news and after they followed pretty much the direction. You know, you're going to find it easier in your life, I think, to praise God when you seek after Him. You're going to find it easier to praise God when you're obedient to His ways. Now, you can praise God at any time. I know that. But I think it tends to be easier when you're seeking Him, and when you receive the blessings and you're obedient to His ways, it becomes just easier just to begin praising God, whether it's just praising Him in prayer, or when you sing at church, praising Him in your songs, or praising Him just as you go down the street, just giving God praise in your heart. It becomes easier when you're seeking after Him and you're living according to His ways. It becomes easier. These shepherds, I think it just was natural. They just couldn't hold on to this news. They had to just share it, and they began to praise God. Here's my second thought this morning, and this gets us really into the reason. They praised God for what was revealed unto them, and it tells us that in verse 20. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. See, the angels had told them what had transpired. They went and they witnessed it, they heard it and they saw it. And basically they returned and they praised God for what was revealed. And there's two thoughts within this. The first one is He revealed His Son to the world. You think about that. That's what they praised God for. That He had revealed His Son Jesus Christ to this sinful world. And Jesus Christ taking on the form of a man, of a human body, God, that He's God man, or He was God manifested. He was revealed to the world. You know, in the Old Testament, remember when Moses struggled to go back to Israel? Remember what God told him? He said, "Who shall I say is sending me?" Remember what He said? He said, "Tell them I am sending you." You know, when you go into the book of John, you find that same phrase taken on by Jesus Christ, "I am." You see, basically, we can't see God. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. We can't see Him with our eyes. But Jesus Christ, taking on the form of a man, manifested God to us. So we could see Him, or men and women were able to see Him in a way that they could understand. And see Him in a way that they could comprehend. I think when we get to heaven, when we see God, I think it'll be Jesus Christ, is what I believe from the Scriptures. That's who we'll see. Jesus Christ manifested God manifested to us. You see, that's what they praised God for, that He was revealed. And so they could see Him and they could get an understanding. Now, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. Many of you may even have this memorized. I know a lot of our children do. John chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. It says there in verse 16 of John 3, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." You see, God sent His Son to this world. And you look at this passage here. Yes, it was an act of love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But when you look at that passage, the world, God sent His Son to a world of sinners, a world that of rebellious people who didn't want Him. God sent His Son to be manifested so that God could bless this world. And then we know in Luke chapter 2 that the angels announced His arrival, that they announced it to the shepherds there, and there from the heavens they announced that Jesus Christ was there. He'd been born. You know, Jesus Christ, God's Son, would change the world forever. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to notice what Jesus Christ said Himself concerning His arrival and His life on earth. Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 17, Matthew 5, verse 17, He says there, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy," He says, "but to fulfill." Now you think about that. When Jesus Christ was sent, He was sent to be the fulfillment. And in this passage, really, it gives us the two things that He was sent to fulfill. He was sent to fulfill all those prophecies in the Old Testament, all of them, that concerned His first coming. He fulfilled them all. And that's what He was there for, to fulfill those prophecies, all the prophets had spoken about His first coming and what He would do, and He fulfilled those. You know, He often, when you read through the Gospels, He often referred to the prophecies when He spoke of Him, when He referred to Himself. He referred to those prophecies because He came to fulfill them. Secondly, He came to fulfill the law. And that's what it tells us there. He didn't come to do away with it, because the law was from God. There's nothing wrong with the law. The thing that's wrong is with us. We're sinners before the law. We've broken the law. But the law is perfect. It's from God. Jesus Christ came to fulfill that law. Here's how He fulfilled it. He lived according to it. You know, He humbled Himself. The Bible tells us that He humbled Himself and placed Himself under the law. You know, by taking on the form of a man, Jesus Christ submitted to the law, to live within it. You know, He's God. He's the one who sent it. But He submitted Himself before the law. And we know He lived a perfect life. Peter tells us that. John tells us that. There was no sin to be found in Him. Even James mentions that. And James was His brother, or half-brother on earth. And he mentions that. You see, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life on earth. He fulfilled the law. He lived according to it. And He did what no man or woman could do. Lived according to everything that the law had to offer. And fulfilled it. You see, He also finished the work, is what He did. Jesus Christ finished the work. He lived a perfect life. And then He laid that life down on the cross for the atonement of sin. Now I know during Christmas time we think of the birth of our Lord and Savior, but let us never forget that He was born for one reason, and that one reason was to become an atonement for sin. You know that phrase, "He was born to die." I know a lot of people use that, and that's true. He was literally born so that way He could die for us. And so this was just the beginning of His life on earth and the ministry that would come from that. But He did finish the work. He finished it on that cross. And then, of course, He arose from the grave 3 days later so we can be saved and we can have hope. This morning, I just want to give you one thought before we move on to finish this out this morning. There will never be another Messiah. You know, today, people are always looking for something new. Looking for the next big thing. Whether it's in entertainment or business. And it's even crept into spiritual thinking, looking for something new, a new teaching, a new way to go, a new way to follow. Actually, turn over with me to Hebrews 1. I want to show you something in Hebrews 1, what the Word of God has to say concerning Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, and if you're taking notes, it's verses 1 through 3. This, just the beginning of this book. Notice what it says in Hebrews 1. "God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. But what I want to draw your attention to is that verse 2, which we've read there, has in these last days. That phrase, last days, refers to the days that we're in now. Basically, it's the days from the time of Christ until he returns. That's considered the last days. That's the big picture of the last days. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. There is not going to be another prophet sent. There's not going to be another Messiah sent. There's not going to be another Savior. There's no need for it. Jesus Christ provided the perfect atonement. You see, if there'd have to be another sacrifice and another salvation, that means that Jesus Christ failed somewhere, that there was a mistake, that he didn't accomplish everything, and so that God would have to send someone else, and then everything else just gets thrown out the window with that. Then it'd become a big mess. You see, Jesus Christ was perfect, and he provided the perfect atonement. That's it. So this morning, I hope and pray you're not looking for another Messiah or another way, because it's not going to arrive. He's already been here. He's already provided salvation. What's needed now is to trust in him for salvation. Trust in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him and believe on him. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is only one way to get to God the Father, one way to be saved, one way to have eternal life, one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And as he says there, this was Peter here, whereby we must be saved. And this morning, I want to tell you, you must be saved. I know that's getting a little bit bold as a pastor, but think about this. You must be saved if you want to avoid eternal separation from God. You must be saved if you want to avoid the eternal flames of hell, is what the Bible tells us. You must be saved if you want to have eternal life. You must be saved if you want to have fellowship with God the Father. So that word there, must, is important. If you want all those, or if you don't want some of that, that's the repercussion of not being saved, you must be saved. You must come to Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray everyone here has trusted in Christ as your Savior. If not, he took on the form of a man, lived that life, and went to the cross so you can be saved and you can have eternal life. You know, the final thought here in this second one here, you know, we're talking about the shepherds praising God for what was revealed. They praise God that he revealed this Son of the world, but also I think they praised God because he revealed his Son to them, personally, to the shepherds. Now, what I mean by that is our God is a personal God. If you're saved here this morning, it's because you have a personal relationship with him. Because you have confessed of your sin. You have trusted in Christ. You see, you can't get to heaven because of your dad or your mom or your brother or your sister or anybody else. It's between you and God. And also, we can't make someone else get saved. We can't make them. I mean, that's between them and God. And so, we shouldn't try to force that. We should share it and then pray for them. That's between them and God to be saved. But once you're saved, it's a personal relationship. You see, these men, when they returned, they had a personal, not only, I guess, a message from the angels, but they went personally and they saw Jesus Christ, and then they returned and they began to witness, and to them it was confirmed that the Messiah was there. I imagine these men, it's likely they knew the Old Testament teachings. Now, we don't know the understanding they had, but if they were raised in a Jewish home during this time, and they appear to be faithful men, then they knew the Old Testament. They knew the teachings of the Old Testament. They knew the teachings of a Messiah. And here on that night, their hopes were fulfilled. Their dreams really had come true. The Savior was there to provide salvation. So I think here, well, this is a personal praise unto the Lord. What I mean by that, they didn't plan this. You know, sometimes we can plan praise. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I'm going to praise God. But, you know, a lot of times I think praise really should just come from the heart. We don't plan it. We're just thrilled that God has blessed us. That God has maybe given you a blessing of some kind in your life. Or you just read the Bible and you're reminded of how good he is and you just begin to praise God. You fall on your knees and just begin to pray and praise the Lord for who he is. You see, that's what happened here. These men, just they began to share it to everybody else. And then when they returned, they began to praise God and glorify God for who he was. You know, I don't think anybody really plans to be blessed. You know, we may try to do things, and I guess we make plans and we hope for the best is what we do. We make plans and hope for the best. We should say, Lord willing, you know, we make plans with God in mind. And then when things work out or when God chooses to bless, then we praise God. You see, we don't really plan on blessings. We can't. That's in God's hands to provide those. And when He does provide them, we praise Him. The same is with salvation. I don't think anybody really plans to be saved. Well, think about this for a minute. In our sinful nature, I think our sinful nature really recoils at God. We don't want God. We have no desire. You know, in my own personal testimony, the day I was saved, I didn't wake up that morning and say, you know, today I'm going to get saved. That's my plan for today. I went to church that day, heard the message. My heart was convicted right then and there. Trusted in Christ as my Savior. You see, salvation is a work of God in the heart. And we may not plan that. You know, it's not something, oh, I'm going to plan to do this, plan to that. It's something that God blesses us with. And once it's there, you just begin to praise God. This morning, if you're saved, praise God for salvation. Praise God that He worked in your heart. Praise God that you responded and that you trusted in Him as your Savior. And then pray for other people and praise God for the blessings that He has given unto you. See, they praised God for what they had seen and what they had heard, what was revealed unto them. You know, you can praise God for what He's revealed. Now, He's revealed His Son to this world. Now, I haven't seen Him in the flesh. I don't think anyone here is old enough. I'm going to be careful. Begin telling old jokes. I'm going to be careful. I know nobody here was able to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. We know He was revealed, though, from the witnesses that we have. And that the recordings that were made as far as the Scriptures. We know He was revealed. But you know what God has revealed to us? He's revealed His Word to us. And that Word, in that Word, we know the testimony of Jesus Christ, His ministry on earth. And we also have many other, I guess you say, teachings that were inspired, that were given to us in the epistles, and even in the Old Testament. You see, God has revealed His Word to us. You know, those shepherds, when you think about that, that's what they praised God for what He'd revealed to them. This year at Christmas time, you can praise God for what He's revealed to you. Of course, if you're saved, He's revealed your condition and you trust in Christ. But also, He's revealed His Word to you, and you have it this year, and you can read it and you can study it. You know, in closing this morning, look at, I want to show you something here as we close this out. And we're in Luke chapter 2. Notice in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. I want you to notice, real quick in closing this morning, in this passage we find three responses here to this news. Notice the first one. Some wondered. The shepherds went and saw the Savior. They began to tell everyone around what had happened. You know what the Bible tells us? They wondered. Doesn't tell us that they got right with God. Doesn't tell us that they believed. It just says they wondered. You know, that's what happens sometimes. There are a lot of people that hear the gospel, that know their situation. You know what they do? They just wonder. In other words, they think about it. They consider it. They may even be a little bit in awe of the Bible and the teachings there. But it stops right there. Doesn't go any further. They just think about it. They wonder. Then there's no faith. They don't act upon it. They don't trust in Christ. Here this morning, I pray that you're saved. If not, if you're at that point where you've heard it and it's not real to you, you've just wondered on it, I want to encourage you to consider God, putting it to action, putting your faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in Him as your Savior. Secondly, we see Mary. What did she do? The Bible says she pondered those things. You know what that means? She weighed everything in her heart and she considered it and kept it is what she did. You know what Mary did? I think this would always be a great blessing to her. Always be a great blessing to her. And she pondered it. You know what the third response is? This is what the shepherds did. They shared it. They shared it. And that really is for us, I think. They shared it. They went and told everybody about this wonderful news that they had heard, what they had seen. So this year, let's not forget why we celebrate Christmas. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting together with family, I don't believe. There's nothing wrong with giving and receiving gifts. As long as we don't forget our Lord and Savior, as long as we remember the fact that He was born and that He took on human form to live a life for us and pay the price for our sin. So let's not forget why we celebrate Christmas. Like those shepherds, let's share it with others. Let's continue. And not just at Christmas time, but all year round. Let's look to share the blessing of salvation with others. I'll leave you with a story. There was a young boy who was unwrapping all his presents at Christmas time. And he had finished unwrapping all his presents and he was having a good time. And someone in his family looked over and said, "Did you get everything you wanted this year for Christmas?" And that boy thought for a moment. He was only about 8 years old. He thought, and he put his hand, he goes, "No." He goes, "But it's not my birthday anyway." And I thought, that's good. You know, this year, let's remember, it's about Jesus Christ. And you know, we can have fun, we can enjoy the time, but I tell you what, let's not forget our Lord and Savior, and not just at Christmas, but all year round. Let's continue to praise, like these shepherds, praise and glorify God. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for the blessings you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless us this year as we continue and as we go forward this week. I also pray that you'll bless this time of invitation. If you've worked in anyone's heart here this morning in any way, I pray that they'll just seek you in prayer. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're just going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart this morning, I encourage you to seek him in prayer. Perhaps there's someone here that just wants to praise God. You just want to just praise him in your prayer this morning. You can come down to these altars and pray as the piano begins to play, or you can just pray right where you are. Just seek him out. Maybe you have questions concerning salvation. If that's the case, please come forward. Someone can take the Bible and we can show you from the scriptures what salvation is and how you can be saved.